This is Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm Renee Montaigne. In your health today, new research suggests that if your spouse gives up cigarettes, you're nearly 70% more likely to quit, too. Likewise, if a friend or even a friend of a friend stops smoking, you're more likely to quit. NPR's Allison Aubrey reports on just how far this effect can go.
Sheila Jennings and Tom White met a few days ago at an outdoor cafe in Adams Morgan, a neighborhood in Washington, D.C. There on the patio, a sliver of sun illuminating some of the last feet of public space where smoking is still acceptable, Sheila opened a pack of cigarettes. Before she lit up, she asked Tom, who was sitting at the next table over, if he minded.
I thought, in due respect, I should ask.
She asked me if it was okay if she smoked. Turned around, I was like, no, it's totally cool, I am too. And she kind of laughed, and then we just started talking.
Down the street, Tom's friend Rusty Stika had just gotten off work at a local bookstore and was walking toward the cafe to meet his girlfriend. When Tom and Rusty spotted one another, they stopped to say hello and catch up for a minute.
Take it easy. Nice. I'm going to go play some pool.
Rusty, it turns out, is not a smoker, at least not anymore, thanks to the influence of his girlfriend.
I just quit again like a month ago, so it's very recent.
Is it hard?
This is about the fifth time I've quit. It gets easier each time.
Especially now, when someone close to him is helping him kick the habit. So here's the question. Is it possible that the influence of Rusty's girlfriend could extend to Tom, or even to Sheila, who's just a mere acquaintance? Two researchers who've been studying the dynamics of social networks say yes, it's likely. Nicholas Christakis is with Harvard Medical School.
There's no doubt that people are influenced by the behaviors of individuals that are not just 1 degree of separation from them, but 2 and 3 degrees of separation from them. There's a kind of cascading influence. And if I had to bet, I would bet that Tom is going to be more likely to quit now than he was before. And this cascade might have been put into motion by his friend's girlfriend.
Christakis isn't just shooting from the hip here. He and his colleagues have actually documented this cascading effect. Their work began kind of serendipitously when they stumbled upon a trove of paper records from a heart study launched in the town of Framingham, Massachusetts, back in the early 1970s.
So we were able to recover these paper records and computerize them and reconstruct the social ties of a total of 12,000 people.
The beauty of the records is that they had information on everybody who started or stopped smoking, as well as social contacts. The records were updated continuously over 3 decades.
Not only for any given individual did we know who their friends and family and coworkers and neighbors were, but for those friends, families, coworkers and neighbors, we knew what their friends, family, coworkers and neighbors were. So we were able to go out well beyond 6 degrees of separation.
It turns out that the people closest to us in social space influence us the most, perhaps a validation of the obvious. But Christakis says there's more here than just a simple copycat effect. His study shows people stop smoking in droves or clusters, as if there were a kind of hive intelligence or a synchronicity to it. What may be most interesting about the social network findings is who's left still smoking at the end of this 3-decade period when tobacco use dropped off substantially nationwide. Christakis's colleague James Fowler of UC San Diego explains. He says in 1972, smokers were as likely to be positioned at the center of a social network as non-smokers. The metaphor for being at the center would be standing at a party talking to 10 people.
But by the end of the party, by the end of our 32-year study, the people in the center of the room are not smoking. And the people who continue to smoke have been literally pushed to the outside of the party so that they're in places where they're only connected to one or two other people.
Tom White, one of the smokers from the cafe, says, yeah, he can relate. Smokers do feel isolated these days.
So you're okay with being on the sort of outskirts or sort of the fringe?
I don't have any choice. I don't like it, but I'm willing to be there. I'm willing to stay here.
The more smokers segregate themselves into islands on the periphery, the harder they may be to reach, says Dr. Steve Schroeder. He directs the Smoking Cessation Leadership Center at UC San Francisco.
Only about 3% of smokers who try to quit can quit on their own.
But using the power of social networks to pull people away from the sidelines might help drive down smoking rates even more. Allison Aubrey, NPR News.